stand it all. When I'm out here doing, you didn't preach at all. See, I'm full of the blues, holy water too. I know the truth hurts, so I lied to you. So preach on, speak your words. I know the truth hurts, so I lied to you. Yes, I lied to you. I love the blues, I love the blues. Somebody, please take me in your arms tonight. Somebody take me in your arms tonight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Demento. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to Higher Reasoning Reggae every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. Higher Reasoning Reggae is dedicated to bringing international reggae word and sound power to the massive airing early Sunday mornings at 3 a.m. only on KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a digital space for students at PCC experiencing disabilities to share their perspectives, ideas, and worldviews in an inclusive and accessible environment. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of Portland Community College, PCC Foundation, or KBOO-FM. We broadcast bi-weekly on our home website, pcc.edu/DCA, on Spotify, and monthly on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM.
In April of 2025, Portland Community College announced their intention to shut down their music and sonic arts program. This announcement came as a shock to students and faculty, whose perception is that the program is unique, pioneering, and thriving. Last night, on May 15th, dozens of students and faculty members rallied at a meeting of the PCC Board of Directors to voice their support of the MSA program. Before that, I got the chance to speak with a few of them about their experiences with the program, as well as with Darcy Demers, a longtime academic advisor for this program. In full transparency, this is the program that I, Mary Newman, graduated from in the spring of last year. Check out the web version of this episode at pcc.edu/DCA, available May 23rd, to read the article sharing my own personal thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, so first, if I could just get name, pronouns, and your major here.
Yeah, my name is Priscilla Schnitke. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm in the Music and Sonic Arts and Creative Coding program, both associates degrees.
My name is Sam Schrader. My pronouns are he, him. I'm in the Creative Coding and Immersive Technologies path, which is part of the broader Music and Sonic Arts program.
My name is Renee Radix. My pronouns are she, her. Technically, I'm on track right now for two associate's degrees, one in the Creative Coding and Immersive Technologies pathway and one in the Music and Sonic Arts pathway, which are both kind of part of the same department. They have a lot of overlap, so I'm doing both of these right now.
My name is Darcy Demers. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the academic advisor for the PCC's Music and Sonic Arts program housed out of the Cascade campus up here in North Portland.
My name is Erin Genova. Currently, I'm a Music and Sonic Arts major person. I am working towards an associate's in creative coding. And then my pronouns are, I have no preferred pronouns, but, I guess non-binary works.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. So what has the Music and Sonic Arts program been for you?
So I've been a musician for a long time. I'm in my late 20s. I'm going to be 30 this year. I've studied music for a lot of my childhood. Like, I studied music in high school. I'm a self-taught, semi-professional musician. I think that, this is the first time I've been in a department that has the kind of, I don't know. I've gotten a lot of good information from a lot of good teachers in Portland and throughout my childhood, but this is the first time where I feel like I've actually been instilled with confidence to kind of create my own art, whatever it is, and where, I feel accepted for who I am, encouraged to pursue kind of my truth in the artistic world, given a bunch of resources, encouraged to go places with them, talked up and not talked down. I think it's really, really common in academic music to talk people down a lot. And it's a culture of putting people down and a culture of talking about how people aren't good enough. And this program's nothing like that. It's been extremely encouraging. It's also pushed me a lot, which has been really great. It's a thing that I really strive to find. I think my confidence has bloomed since I've been here. There's all these different things I know how to do now that I didn't know how to do before, good in an academic program. There's been very little of the program which feels like I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it. I kind of came here as an educator in part because I wanted to broaden the amount of stuff that I can teach to students. I've also been a music educator for a long time, at least 5 years, 7 years, which, I'm in my 20s. It's not, it's most of my life at this point. So my background's in jazz, but I've always had a very deep appreciation of a lot of contemporary music, electronic music, hip hop. I'm a huge hip hop fan. Oh my God, I think it's some of the most incredible music that's been created in the past 100 years, and it's really hard to find programs that take this stuff seriously and don't just treat it as a footnote for the classical music canon, which I think there's a lot of merit to the classical music canon, but it's just not, I don't know, it's not relevant to what a lot of people want to learn. And I'm excited because music is this liberating self-expression thing, right? And this is one of the first programs I found that really seems to believe that and engages if that's the case, And it's invigorated a lot of my hope and excitement in education. Being a music educator is very difficult. This program's making me want to keep doing it, making me want to devote my life to it, which is saying a lot, given the way that the music education system is and especially education as a whole is to trans people,
What has the Music Sonic Arts program been to you?
Very much a haven. I moved here from very far away and was having an awful time acclimating and getting used to a lot of just differences and also anxieties about home and stuff. And I started going to PCC at some point. I had been serious about music for a few years now. And I was taught in a different school of teaching in music. It was closer to German classical mm-hmm. education. And a lot of it was just teaching me how to lean into the way I've been learning to see music in a way of everything is music. We teach Paulina Rivera's things. Mm-hmm. And that also, because I'm interested in musical education, Renee, and that has, just learning this new school and looking at how it differs from ours and how it's two different languages, and the fact that we have such amazing professors that I can talk to this about. Sarah and Jesse, our heads, are the best music teachers I've ever met, because the amount of care that goes into teaching and the amount of understanding they have, especially for neurodivergent people, and they never rage quit, which is amazing, and they never rage, which is also amazing. But yeah, it's been very much kind of a way to feel more planted on the ground and feel at home. And the community is great. The resources are great.
I actually already have a degree in film, so I'm going back to school. For me, it seemed like creative coding would be a really great way to combine my interests in art and being a creative person with the sort of practicality of studying something in the computer science realm, as well as fostering my just interest in computer science and I guess that sort of sphere of things. Something that happened after I started in this path that surprised me quite pleasantly was that, well, for a little bit of background, I've always really liked music and I've always wanted to make music, but I've never been able to just like stick with any of the kind of traditional ways of doing that. Like I would, you know, take lessons in various instruments, but I wouldn't stick with it. I found like music theory and like learning to read music kind of intimidating. So I never really like got the hang of that super well. But I found that doing creative coding, being part of the music and sonic arts program, I got to take all these music adjacent or just straight up music classes that I wouldn't have been able to take otherwise. And I didn't really know that I would necessarily be taking. And I've found that that's opened up a whole new angle to learning and appreciating music for me. Sort of learning about the math behind how we perceive sound and why we like certain kinds of music has been really, it's been really cool, and it's provided a different approach to learning about music. I've been doing some audio programming, which feels like an approach to making music that's very different from the traditional like instrument pathway that a lot of traditional musicians take. And for me, I feel like next year I'm thinking about taking a composition class, which is something that I never would have thought that I would do a year ago. So, you know, another year from now, who knows what I might be doing thanks to this program. And yeah, I just feel like this really exemplifies the sort of beauty and promise of academia, where you go to study something and you find things along the way that enrich you and provide new avenues for you to pursue that you never would have thought in a million years you would have been able to do before. And for me, I think that's the true value of the Music and Sonic Arts program. So
it has been really cool. Like, honestly, it's like, you know, helped me like discover and like really like, you know, builds like skills that I had been interested in before, but I hadn't really like approached too much myself. You know, I think in the past, like before I started like doing like creative coding and stuff, like I was like trying to like do like graphic design. You know, I think I was fairly successful like in graphic design. I ended up like, you know, helping like some local brands with like brand identity type stuff, you know.
That's cool.
But I don't know, I really like, since I had spent a lot of time learning like, you know, like web design or whatever, I thought like, you know, there's some other ways that, other things I could do with it, you know. Yeah,
future students who would not be attracted to college in any way, shape, or form, get involved with this program, and they bounce through the program. They get their stackable awards. The certificate can bounce to the associates, which can bounce to the bachelor path at Portland State, a huge state-approved program or state-approved pipeline, very unique to a career technical program. You don't see welding transferring. You don't see multimedia transferring. You see music and sonic transferring. Not that everyone transfers, but it's certainly aligned with the state initiatives to get folks post high school some credentials, a certificate, an associate's, a bachelor's. And so we do that, and we have been doing that beautifully with high numbers.
Yeah.
And what this gives students is confidence, inspiration, motivation to, you know, do the college gig. You know, it's not for everybody. And we get students invigorated and excited about where this career can take you. And we do put people to work. I just think the tick boxes that the administration has put down, they don't have a clear picture of how to tick this box.
This is an incredibly unique program. Like, there is basically nothing else like this in the state.
Correct. In the Pacific Northwest.
Because I went to school in Chicago for audio production.
Okay.
And what I really wanted to do was make video games and do sound programming kind of stuff. And even the expensive Chicago schools didn't have anything like that. And all the other schools in the state didn't have anything out like that. So I looked back at what PCC had. I even had a meeting with someone at another school in the state. And they were like, well, we don't really have anything like that. We have the music course and we have the programming course. And then I looked back here where I had gotten my initial associate's degree, and they were like, oh yeah, no, we have exactly that. It's right here. It's 2 years long, and you're going to have a great time. And I'm like, I guess I'm coming back to PCC.
Yeah.
There's a lot of data that this is an effective program and people choose PCC specifically like I did because there isn't anything else. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, I would have rather gotten a bachelor's degree for the same amount of work that I put into the same kind of thing, but that just isn't available. There isn't one.
Right.
There isn't one for less than $70,000 a year, and those are all either in Los Angeles or in New York or out of the country.
Right.
There's nothing similar.
Exactly. I've had students come here from Arizona, from California, move here, and it's really kind of tricky, too, because they want to do this path, the music sonic arts path, and then they want to transfer to Portland State. Mm-hmm. And it comes into, like, if you're coming here from another state, which I have the discussion often, you have to take 8 credits or less because you have to establish residency to then transferred to Portland State for their music production and SAMP program, as they call it. People come from far, but more importantly, you know, it's for our local people and our local community to get the skills needed in today's workforce.
You know, being in a space like this gives me hope, right? Like, it gives me hope that, like, because, you know, all the teachers are like these, like, kind of oddball misfits who have these, like, this weird pastiche of, like, knowledge from all these different zones of, like, some academic music, some from, like, self-taught stuff, some, like, you know, self-taught coding stuff, and like how this can all intermingle, and it's an empowering, confidence-inducing environment to be in that gives me hope to continue educating, because I do just want to do that the rest of my life, like, straight up. I want to create art, and I want to encourage others to create art, because I think it's a beautiful part of being alive and being humans, you know. It's one of the best parts about that, in my opinion. Yeah, this program, I don't think I've been in an academic environment that has been this encouraging, like, including the ones that I teach in, right? Like, that has been this encouraging, that has been this, like, open-minded, that has at the same time pushed people and also, like, not, you know, talk them down or punish them for not doing well enough or whatever. Like, it's amazing, you know? And everyone who comes through this program says it's amazing. Like, all the professionals outside of this program think it's amazing. Like, my boss at the pizza store, who, like, is a studio recording technician, knows that this program is amazing and was talking to me about it, right? Like, this program is, like, an artistic institution in the city of Portland and, like, is gluing it together to an extent. So, like, yeah, you don't need to look very hard to find how important this program is to a variety of people, like, within the school and outside of the school and associated with the school and all that stuff, right? You know? Yeah, what are your other questions? Before I talk for, like, half an hour.
No, that's perfect. What has been your favorite experience that has been either in or stemming from this program?
Well, there's actually too many to name. Like, thanks to this program, I got invited to, like, a film festival, to Panorama. And, like, the film I scored was shown at the Hollywood.
Oh, that's super cool.
Like, I did not think that. And I made, like, the things I've learned to do, I were, like, when I started studying music, a dream. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing modular synths, understanding, like, other temperaments. All of these things have just, like, my ability, like, I haven't practiced solfège in a really long time, but my ear is still just so much better because, like, I was taught sound design and how to, like, process sound. I was able to work with, like, you. Like, that was, the last capstone was sick, and I loved your part in it, and I loved Jackie. Like, everyone of the second year was, like, insane. And, like, watching y'all work was so inspiring. And just, like, yeah, a lot of inspiration, a lot of support and understanding. And, like, I came out here, and, like, if it wasn't for PCC, if I was in any other place, I would probably not have gotten to a place where I'm comfortable using the pronouns I use and I'm comfortable dressing the way I dress. Like, it was very, like, therapeutic. And, like, especially considering I had awful, I mean, I have a heavy learning disability, and, like, I had an awful school experience, a lot of stress and trauma, and, like, PCC really helped me kind of process that. And that was amazing. Yeah, it's, or being in the Sonic Arts program is my favorite part of being in the Sonic Arts program.
I think probably learning how to solder, because I feel like it's just opened up a whole lot of things that I can do on my own, and it's also a skill that I've always wanted to learn, but have been very intimidated by, kind of like my experience learning, like, music through this program as well. I guess that maybe that would be tied for first, like, unconventional music or learning to solder.
I actually totally agree with the learning to solder. Like, I had never soldered before. I had, like, tried and failed once when I was trying to fix a guitar. And then in this class, I or in the capstone, I just took over as, like, the soldering person. Like, when we had to do the one, like, the same thing
right.
40 different times, I was like, yeah, I'll just do it. And I put on my mask and put on my headphones and just played, like, some death metal and solder for 2 hours straight. And it was great.
I remember a class where I did something very similar, except it was an NWA radio station that I just put on. And I was just, like, jamming out to gangster rap, soldering little microcontrollers. It was blissful.
it's true hacker core.
It really is.
My main job is helping students get into and through and beyond a program off into their next chapter of life. Programs here at PCC go through, you know, twice a year, typically periodic reviews, you know, what the program needs to work on, what the program's lacking, where this and that, you know, what's going on with the program. There has been no indication that this program was ever at risk for anything in the tick boxes that the school is asking for.
And you're just looking for transparency?
Just looking for guidance through what this program needs to do instead of just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We just want to work on stuff to make it better for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that looks like. I can't do that. So don't put that in there. So, yes, periodic program reviews helps programs stay in tune with what's needed for the community. And this is coming out of left field that over the existence of the program, there's been no indication that it's been missing anything from its assessments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my understanding.
The response from everyone seems to be just befuddlement as much as anything else,
yeah.
Because it does appear to have come out of nowhere. There is a distinct lack of transparency in what the college has put out. And especially from every single student that I've heard from, whether past or present or often expecting, you know, people who are like, oh, well, I wanted to be part of this program. This is what I was interested in studying here specifically at Portland Community College. And I guess that's not going to be an option.
Actually, yeah, I've got tens of several. I haven't counted them all, but people wanting to get going and get started for fall in the next cohort, you know. I get like 2 or 3 students every week in the past few weeks starting. I don't say that. I haven't counted, but I get people every day wanting to start. I get people every day wanting to start. I do information sessions every other week, and I had like 12 students last week just to start for fall. And this is only, you know, where are we? May? Are we in May?
Yeah, halfway through.
We're halfway through May, so... Yeah, they're still pounding the doors to come in and learn the skills needed for the
And I think one thing that is notable about this is I don't think people are recognizing how specific and unique this program and the outcomes of this program are. Like, we have a good theater program, but every school in the state has a good theater program. Mm-hmm. We have... a good EMT program.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other schools have that.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of other schools have nursing programs.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing I can think of is our ASL interpreting program, which is just off the charts incredible compared to everything else in the state. Like, it is nationally recognized as being a really good program.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this one.
Yeah.
This is something that people don't get the chance to do at other universities, and especially not on themselves, because some of the materials are really expensive. Sometimes they are just multiple $1,000 pieces of equipment that they don't get on their own. And they can come here and work with other people who are as nerdy and passionate and smart as themselves on something that they wouldn't get to do anywhere else, would never have gotten to do before. And I think people, I mean, I was invited to last year to come to the PCC Gala, specifically because of this program. I was one of 2 students from my cohort who was invited to the gala to come and show off the thing that we had made in this program, because it's a weird, niche, really cool piece of high tech.
Yes. And that's where the money is, in those creative coding skills. And yes, People come from near and far, and people transfer here from Lane, from Clackamas, from Mount Hood, from Carp College, you know, for this program. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I left a esteemed university in Chicago to come here instead because I'm like, actually, this is what I want to do.
Cool.
And I hope people can come to the next open house if that's going to be.
Yeah, I think we have one at the end of spring. Yes,
I think so. I still go every time.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't been in the program for a year, I still go to all of them, and I love seeing the showcases. And the one that we did in the art gallery last year was super cool,
Paragon,
and super impressive. And that was one of the things that was inspiring to me when I started this, right before I started this program. I was like, oh, hey, look, there's a showcase in Paragon Gallery. I'll go check it out. And then I went in. I'm like, whoa, this stuff is crazy. This is so cool.
Yes.
I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, some people, yes, people thrive here. And people thrive and, you know, make their mark in the world.
Yeah.
In the industry.
I want it to be seen how unique this program is. Not just for the outcome, the products that come from it, but what people get to experience and what people get to make, and learning skills that can apply anywhere from the opera to a touring lighting show for a metal band
to the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Yeah, to the Sphere, to working at Intel designing motherboards.
Right, exactly. Yes.
These are all things that I learned in just one of my courses, let alone all the JavaScript and the HTML and the backend stuff that I learned.
This program has an incredible wealth of resources. Like knowledge resources for sure. Like the teachers that I've studied under have been very broad scope of knowledge, you know, very flexible, very much teachers who want to teach me how to learn and not just like give me information. And I feel, especially because a lot of my initial classes were in the creative coding pathway, so like I feel encouraged in a new way that I never thought was possible to just learn tech stuff. Like, I think, you know, again, you probably understand this too, that like, same with music, a lot of tech stuff is very gatekept, very bro-y, like a lot of people talk people down, and like, it doesn't need to be that way, right? Like that, I'm never gonna be like this amazing programmer that like comes up with novel algorithms for the government. I don't wanna be that, right? Like, I don't think anyone here wants to be that. But that doesn't matter, because there's all these amazing things we can do with this incredible technology we have. And like, so much computer science that's taught kind of squashes that out of people, you know? It's just like, no, we're not gonna like create a cool like sequencer or whatever. We're not gonna teach you how to make a synthesizer. We're gonna teach you how to like create a database for a used car dealership, you know? The other thing is the physical resources the space has is incredible. Like, I've like created compositions for 32 speaker arrays, which is unbelievable. Like, that has been an incredible experience. Like, I've the recording studio here is incredible. Like, it's the community of musicians around me and artists and coders is incredible, all with their different knowledge and their different skill sets. Like, I feel like I've grown a lot as a person, and I haven't even been here that long, you know? And this is like, you know, my third term, I think, and that's what I've gotten out of the program, I think.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So, finally, what do you think about the decision to try and close this program?
I mean, so I actually got the email separate to a lot of the other students, because I got a different email because I'm technically part of faculty too. Like, I'm a teaching assistant, which is great. You know, I love being that. And the way that they spelt it out in the email, I was like, okay, this vaguely makes sense, right? Like, if you're trying to audit programs that claim to be for like job placement and you can't find evidence of that, then like, yeah, maybe you want to like toss up what that program is doing. But I think that it's like jumping to an extreme, you know, like where they could be restructuring things. They are choosing just to axe all of these resources, all this amazing knowledge, this amazing community, and they're not applying the same rubric to other programs that have the same issues, right? Multimedia is in a very similar boat. They offer an associate's degree, and I'm not going to say there are no job listings like this. I'm not an expert in this, but I'll be shocked if there were job listings saying, hey, we need an associate's degree in multimedia for you to get this job. That doesn't exist. That's not what these programs are about, right? Because, like, anyone who works in a creative field will tell you, like,
it's not about the pieces of paper you have, it's about the skills you have and your demonstration of those and your networking and your portfolio and all of this stuff, right? Which is all stuff that this school works on teaching you, you know?
You know, it has high enrollment. It brings students back on campus, which was Benning's main goal. Everybody back in person. Boom, vibrancy here for the community, for the students in the rooms, in the hallways, learning how to collaborate with projects and such. If you go into any other building on this campus, it's crickets.
Yep.
It's crickets. So I invite people to come and see what's going on and what's at stake.
When I was in the program, I know probably half of the people in my cohort, including myself, came in to the room not during class hours and not even during the official post-class lab hours to get stuff done and to work together and to hang out.
Yes.
Which wasn't the case in any of my other classes.
Yeah, yes. And I think some other people have mentioned the relationships and friendships and network that's created here that is lifelong and very needed for a creative industry.
Yeah, what do you think about the decision to try and shut down the Music Sonic Arts program?
I don't have a non-cynical way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a result of human greed. I don't want to like insult the people that are responsible, if you can bleep that out. Yeah. Like, again, there's no reason the appeal was great and it was supposed to pass. Like, there was so much just like bureaucracy like gathered for it. Like, if they do close it, they are like very much committing a criminal act. Yeah, I can't. That's,
I gotcha.
Yeah, I hope that, that's all I can.
Cutting the certificate and AAS degree in Music and Sonic Arts would also undercut Oregon's 40-40-20 goal. The Music Sonic Arts degree and certificate embedded provide direct, proven, stackable awards that pipeline to Portland State University's SAMP program. They just happen to name their program Sonic Arts and Music Production.
Very different
off
thing.
Of ours.
Totally different.
Yes. There was they came knocking at our door saying, let's build a pipeline. This is a needed industry. We need workers for this industry. So this expands access to higher education and lifting students who may not have imagined themselves pursuing any kind of school credential, a college credential.
It goes against the supposed fiscal sustainability plan that the college is using as their rubric of decision making, because that program has written into it things around anti-racism, around equity, around all these things that, like, having a music and sonic arts program like this, like, I tell my students all the time that, like, a history of contemporary music is like a history of, like, it's a history of Black music, it's a history of Latin music, it's a history of, like, all these music from different cultures that are historically extremely underrepresented in academia, especially in academic music programs. Like, there'll be like a footnote or something, and like, it, as a result of this, these programs are more accessible and more interesting to, like, you know, people who come from other cultures other than like the very normative white cultures that get pushed into music programs. And I know this as someone who is friends with the former head of music at Jefferson High, that like large group of that population is Black and was coming here for these programs is going to lose access to them. So yeah, no, it flies in the face of that stuff. Like, I think it's kind of gross, and I don't understand why it's happening, you know? That's what I think about it.
Yeah, also, I just feel like, to be the people who are canceling a music program, like, that's, like, shorthand for evil. Like, that's, like, dirty dancing. Like, you're, like, the town preacher that hates music and happiness. Like, what the f***? Like, who wants to be on that side? Like,
yeah, right?
Like, it's just so, like, cartoonishly evil to try to cancel a music program, especially one that like serves so many people who are like, you know, coming out of high school and can't afford to go to like traditional college, so they get to do like a two-year degree. Like, you're literally trying to cancel a music program for like underserved people / like people who can't afford a traditional college degree. Like, that's just like laughably evil. So, yeah, I guess that's what I would conclude with. Do the right thing.
Yeah, all right.
The program just invested a great chunk of money into equipment approved by the Perkins grant. Not even the school funding. It's the different funding grant for career tech programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that equipment was just approved a few months ago. And so here we go. Where is the disconnect? You know, that cannot be replaced or rehoused or reused.
Yeah.
And it's coming like from Sweden, you know, on a ship, and they need special installers. And 3 years ago, the state of Oregon Department of Ed, through the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, did a video campaign for this program. And a student talking about the program and music production and all the jobs. It shows a huge disconnect in what PCC sees and what a larger body of around education sees in the state. What's interesting in the decision planning and administrative thing, there's not even a willingness to take our suggestions to save money from the program or to streamline it more or whatever. You know, every program is tasked with saving money.
Yeah, always.
We love that. Our appeal, and I speak for the department here, the appeal is very sound and has great ideas to save money, but that seem to be falling on deaf ears. Like all the other 14 programs that were on the table to be chopped, mm-hmm. they all got a chance to reassess, you know, what's going on. And it just feels very personal. But the way things happen around PCC typically take a while. This is sudden and overnight and without discussion.
I first heard about it not even 2 weeks ago, I think.
And what's really tragic is what the administration sent a letter out to the students prior to the, right when the appeal process started.
Mm-hmm.
So that says one thing. We'll give you time to do an appeal. But no, we're telling all your students that this is it, one and done. And that has ruined morale, scared students for, you know, what's up with that? That was, you know, totally uncalled for. And
I've been at PCC for 10 years. I started in fall 2015, so almost 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything like this.
Like this, right, yes. And you're working here with many departments, many programs. I've never felt abandoned and non-supported in a department and leadership.
I'm attempting my absolute best to keep my journalistic integrity intact while I am also very passionately frustrated by the decision and the speed of which everything was.
It was like a whirlwind.
Done. Yeah.
And, you know.
I mean, yeah, if it was announced 2 weeks ago and the deadline is already over.
Right.
And, like,
yeah.
They had 10 days.
It seems like the decision was made beforehand. And where's our leaders? You don't see them at the open houses. You don't see them at wandering the halls here.
And I would love for them to come. I think if you are in the board, come to one of the open houses. You'll talk to some really cool, really smart people who are going to be really
sad that
this
is gone.
Shaping
the future, yeah.
Shaping
the future.
And absolutely shaping the future. Coming up with all sorts of things I could never even imagine. Like there's a deaf kid in my, I guess he's not a kid, there's a deaf student in the cohort right now.
Right.
Who is working with, his name's Dylan. He's super cool and one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Yes.
And he is...
He's a design...
He's a music designer. He's building from scratch ways for music and music software to communicate in an accessible level with deaf people, which is something I almost never see from actual deaf people. It's almost always from hearing people like, oh, I want to share music with deaf people, but this is someone who is deaf and like, oh yeah, no, this is how I want to interact with this.
Right. So yeah, Dylan is an accessible technology development entrepreneur who uses these skills for everyone to be more accessible in life.
The following is an exact replication of an interpretation from a professional interpreter.
So I just want to ask your name and your pronouns and your major here.
Okay. My name is Dylan Simone, and I use he, him. My major is sonic arts, and I'm deaf, but I am able to access the class and, you know, use lots of different technology, like these mini controllers that we have right down here. They connect to microphones and analyze the sound and can actually have an effect on the colors. And that way, you know, that deaf people can understand the spirit of music that way. So I take a ton of classes. I got my first degree, AS degree, and then I also work at Simaspace, which is a nonprofit organization led by deaf people. And this is a really great field, and that there are a lot of jobs and people who are really interested in graduates from our programs. People who have knowledge using this technology, and it really benefits all of our work here.
What's been your favorite experience, either in or stemming from the program so far?
So far, my favorite experience was probably teachers from other classes having asked me to go into their classes and actually develop some technology for deaf people that will be, you know, something really interesting for the community.
Awesome. So what do you think about the attempting to close the Music Sonic Arts program?
I was very shocked. I mean, it's been a huge return on investment. It's been really positive, this program. There's a lot of people who have heard of the music classes that are really fun. You know, I know all of our classes are generally very full. So I was really shocked to hear that. You know, people who are looking for employees out in the community really want people for this program. So I was very surprised to hear that there was a question about job availability and all of that. So, people who, you know, are looking for employees want someone who has those video skills, those technology skills. And that's what they're teaching here in this program is, you know, the skills we need to be out in the job place.
Awesome.
And
yeah, this is their letter.
And he wouldn't get to do that anywhere else. I mean, he could go to U of O and study programming.
Yeah.
Or he could go to U of O and study music.
Right. They are planning to transfer. Yeah. They not to talk about Dylan. I don't know if we're talking about Dylan, but they have. They
I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah. Okay,
specifically.
Cool. Great. They're a great resource. They wrote a great letter and, you know, very forward thinking,
mm-hmm.
And on the cusp of, you know, what you and I able-bodied people, you know, don't consider in our everyday life. So we're grateful to have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would just be a shame to lose that.
Mm-hmm. 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 And, it does house one of the only classes that have AI and machine learning in the title. Knock, knock, knock on the door. What's coming down the pike everywhere? AI. And this is a trend-setting program and a trailblazer program for, you know, if you just examine what's going on at the World Economic Forum website, we need coders, we need people to run technical skills and creative skills to help data, you know, be dispersed.
And even within PCC's own hierarchy, they just announced the new associate vice president of IT, who is this big AI guy and is planning on integrating AI into
exactly
all sorts of
exactly.
things, whether or not you think
and
that's
I know.
A good thing.
Yeah, right. All or and no, we just have to be aware. We have to be aware and conscious of the technologies going on today. We're not pushing anything. We're not advocating for anything. But I don't know. I remember when the calculator came out just about. And, you know, look at us now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't poo-poo technology. You have to be aware and informed.
Mm-hmm. And this program has that at
yeah.
such a more basic and approachable level that, I mean, if you look at computer science or computer system information courses, you don't get anything like that, even automation, up until probably the 300 or 400 levels most of the time.
Oh, wow.
When that was one of the first things I learned in Microcontrollers 1, which is, what is that? That's MS-161 or something?
MC-282.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you would know that just off the top
numbers,
of your head.
Yeah.
But that's so, like, this program and that class specifically is how I learned to understand for loops, something fundamental to programming that I had taken other programming classes, and I'm like, I just don't get it.
Right. You did a lot of, you just jumped out of that. Yeah, we have another mm-hmm. student transferring to OIT for their computer science program.
Mm-hmm.
This is a springboard to many opportunities. People are going to PSU for music business, you know, very needed in the industry. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a strange thing to be targeting so specifically, especially when there is no redundancy of this program and in the state.
There's no redundancy, right. And, you know, people try to, and our equipment is top-notch, our spaces are top-notch. And we're not an expensive program. Don't get me wrong. This is equipment that has been brought to us through the state for teaching these skills. Just like welding gets a welding booths and equipment, just like graphic design gets some computer software, just like nursing gets all their lab and such, you know, those extraneous tools and hardware, software, and equipment needed to teach the trades and the skills that that people seeking a 2-year credential or less need to be successful in the industry. You know, building construction tech, landscape tech, all these, there's about 50 career tech programs here at PCC.
Mm-hmm.
And
Educating is expensive. And keeping any sort of technology up to date, whether that's, you know, quote unquote high tech, like what
I don't think
MSA is doing, or multimedia. Or low tech, like welding. My brother was in the welding program, and I mean, you still have to spend hundreds if not thousands of dollars per student on welding
supplies.
Equipment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think, and it's hard for me to know what column, what was causing. I don't think expense was a problem. Maybe it was, but I was in a meeting where Karen Sanders was going through the fiscal sustainability outlook, and they were asked, a question was raised, you know, what about these programs being cut? She said that we are just asking programs to show us and present to us how you can save money. Boom. End of sentence. And that is what I think the department here in the Music Sonic department has presented them. It's just nothing is getting past. They're not listening. I don't want to say that. But, you know.
That's the sentiment.
That's the sentiment.
Yes.
It's falling on deaf ears. And we think it needs to be investigated because it just doesn't make any sense. The tick boxes and the, we think we might hear next week, you know, maybe Friday. But yeah, sending that letter out to students prematurely was not a good move. And I don't know if PCC is talking to the state Perkins people, but I'm not sure that they're going to be too happy about this because mm-hmm. of their investment. Like I said, they know a larger, they seem to know more than our administrators do about this program with, you know, funding all these tools for students to utilize.
Yeah, I wonder.
But that's just me. That's not official.
Well, I wonder if the perception is that this is a weird offshoot of the music classes.
That's interesting you say that. The classical Western traditional music program that is housed at other campuses, and a lot of their courses are remote and online, has lost a lot of enrollment. You'll see people flocking over here to take our theory sequence housed right here out of the campus here. And those numbers were presented but not looked at. You know, we really fill up this building every term, and three sections of the first year sequences with wait lists up to 20 people. And I think last year in fall, there were like 17 people in one of the theory classes that, you know, one section not even filling up. So it's clear that people want modern day music making skills. It'd be counterproductive to force people back into a pathway that doesn't have such successful results.
Which is what a certain educational body had offered me instead of what PCC offered me. They were like, yeah, we have a music program. Is that what you want? I'm like, no.
The creative skills are found here. The tools, the software, the programs, processing, Jitter, using Arduinos and, you know, Max MSP and all those things that people use to make content, you know, for your cars, for your TV, for your streaming device, for your phone. I mean, come on.
Yeah, or even for live shows. In touring bands. Like, I know...
Exactly.
I know touring musicians who control everything from custom Ableton patches that they've made themselves in Max.
Yeah.
Which I learned how to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really... I work with success stories every day. It's just... a seat at the table of opportunity for students and people who otherwise thought college wasn't for them, or as a job and the talent that they hold wouldn't be available to them. Be removing a seat at the table of opportunity in life, you know.
Yeah.
We don't only train people for skills. We give them life skills, you know, as well. Let me read it here. You know, ending the Music Sonic degrees and certificates would be like removing a chair from the table of opportunity for Portland area youth. For many of the high school students who come here through our doors, this is not just a college program. It's their first and only real connection to higher education. It's where their interest in learning is sparked, often for the first time. This hands-on program is an in-person program, and it's housed at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building at Cascade Campus.
The Music and Sonic Arts program means a whole lot to a whole lot of people. While its fate is currently unknown, it's clear that this program has been something special to everyone who's been through it. Everyone I got to talk to today, plus the dozens of others with whom I didn't get the chance, has such unique insights and perspectives on what they've learned and gained through the Music and Sonic Arts program. Hopefully, within a couple weeks, we'll find out for sure what'll happen. Until then, I've been Miri Newman, and this has been Let's Talk.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessible Education and Disability Resources Department, and the PCC Multimedia Department. We air new episodes bi-weekly on our home website, our Spotify channel, and monthly on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
ねえ二人とも分かってたの何度心絡めても日に日にほどけていた赤色の糸愛してる愛してるなんて言葉だけじゃやっぱダメみたいだ運命だと信じてた日々よ
「思い出だけを涙」 You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.